Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 15th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. and EU strike a deal to end a 17-year trade dispute.
The U.K. extends its lockdown for another month as the Delta variant spreads.
Tensions remain high ahead of tomorrow's meeting between Presidents Biden and Putin.
It's a big step against COVID in New York State. Plus, it's down to the final week of campaigning before New York City's Democratic mayoral primary. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Kyrie Irving will not play for the Nets tonight. The Mets beat the Cubs, and the Rangers have hired a new coach.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are looking for direction this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 3 points. Dow futures have been swinging between gains and losses. Right now, they're up 1 point, and NASDAQ futures up 14. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.48%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude up 0.4%, up 30 cents, 71.18 a barrel. COMEX gold, little change, down 60 cents at 18.6530 an ounce. The euro is at 1.2124 against the dollar, and the yen is at 110.16. Amy?
Nathan, we begin in Europe, where the U.S. and EU have struck a deal to end a 17-year dispute. The conflict over aircraft subsidies to Boeing and Airbus is ending. Let's get the latest live in London with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Amy and Nathan. It's been a fight with an $11.5 billion price tag. That's the value of the tariffs imposed by the US and the European Union on each other's aircraft exports. Now, after 17 years, the two sides have finally agreed to end their dispute. Bloomberg understands the deal means that all future passenger aircraft made by both Airbus and Boeing will be required to be developed without subsidies. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. And there's more news this morning involving the U.S. and the European Union. The EU is set to lift travel restrictions for U.S. residents as soon as this week. While some EU members already allow vaccinated Americans to visit, inclusion in a new list means restrictions will be lifted across the bloc.
Meantime, in the UK, coronavirus restrictions will last at least another 4 weeks. A more infectious variant has been spreading across the country. That has Prime Minister Boris Johnson keeping restrictions in place until mid-July.
I'm confident that we will not need more than 4 weeks, and we won't need to go beyond July the 19th. It's unmistakably clear the vaccines are working, and the sheer scale of the vaccine rollout has made our position incomparably better than in previous waves.
Boris Johnson's revised lockdown timetable is expected to go to a vote in the UK Parliament tomorrow.
And we're also one day away from a key meeting between Presidents Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin. The two leaders meet in Geneva as U.S.-Russia relations continue to degrade. Here with more is Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The president, after a full day of meetings, said the overriding theme is bringing the globe's democracies together against the threats of China and Russia. So after today, he will have met with the G7, NATO, and European institutions headed toward tomorrow's meeting with Vladimir Putin, hoping for cooperation.
I'm not looking for conflict with Russia, but that we will respond if Russia continues its harmful activities. And we will not fail to defend the transatlantic alliance.
Biden does say Putin is a worthy adversary. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Ed. Back here in the U.S., tax policy is in focus. A key Democrat pushing to expand state and local tax deductions is also considering proposing a one-time wealth tax on the richest Americans. Let's get those details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Amy. The Patriot tax is still in the exploration phase, and it's intended to address wealth inequality, which exploded during the pandemic. New York Democratic Representative Tom Suozzi's proposal would call for a one-off 2.5% tax on accumulated wealth of more than $50 million and a 5% levy on assets over $100 million. Those subjected to the tax could pay for it over 5 years. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Back on Wall Street, more workers are returning to the office. Goldman Sachs welcomed all staff back yesterday. Morgan Stanley says its return to office policy policy will remain flexible until Labor Day. But CEO James Gorman says if workers are comfortable dining out, they should feel safe at the bank's headquarters.
When the vaccines weren't ubiquitous, we had to deal with that reality. Now they are. If you can go to a restaurant in New York City, you can come into the office. And we want you in the office.
James Gorman made the comments at a virtual conference hosted by Morgan Stanley.
Meantime, at J.P. Morgan, the streak of blowout earnings during the pandemic may be coming to an end. CEO Jamie Dimon is signaling a 38% drop in quarterly trading revenue that was even bigger than Wall Street analysts had forecast.
Last quarter is exceptional. This quarter is what I call more normal, where you can plug in your model and make it really simple. It's like something a little bit north of $6 billion. Which is still pretty good, by the way, and probably better than we told you last time. But last time we said, like 2019, I forget what that number was, but plug in the number a little bit north of six.
Dimon also spoke at that virtual conference held by Morgan Stanley. While fixed income and equities trading will be closer to pre-pandemic levels, the J.P. Morgan CEO says investment banking revenue will likely outperform thanks to an active M&A market.
Meantime, on the economic front, we're looking at a busy day on Wall Street. The Fed begins a two-day policy meeting. Plus, we get the latest readings on producer prices and retail sales. Here with more on the May retail data is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Government stimulus checks have driven relatively strong retail sales in recent months. Investors will be watching to see if that trend continues. They expect it to. But the data fade a bit in significance given two current trends, the spike in inflation and a shift in consumer preferences towards services consumption. Inflation-adjusted spending on goods and services, reported later in the month, will provide a better read on consumption patterns going forward. One category to watch, restaurant and bar sales. Though often thought of as services, they do count as good spending. The reopening of the economy should give them a boost. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, Michael. The housing market also in focus. Global real estate prices flash bubble warnings not seen since the run-up to the 2008 financial crisis. According to Bloomberg Economics, New Zealand, Canada, and Sweden rank as the world's frothiest housing markets. The U.S. and the U.K. are also near the top of the rankings. S&P futures are a fraction higher. Dow futures down 21. NASDAQ futures up 7. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York State is at another positive milestone in the fight against COVID. According to the CDC, nearly 70% of people in the state have been at least partially vaccinated. Governor Andrew Cuomo had said that most remaining restrictions would likely be lifted once the state hit that threshold. During his briefing yesterday, Cuomo also said the state's single-day positivity rate is at 0.35%.
There is a direct correlation. These are numbers, so there's a logic to it. The more people get vaccinated, the lower the positivity rate.
Cuomo is calling on anyone who has not gotten the vaccine yet to make an appointment or simply walk into a site. New York City will celebrate the essential workers who got the city through the coronavirus pandemic with a July 7th ticker tape parade up the Canyon of Heroes. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
It's a day to celebrate and appreciate the heroes who often go unsung. We're going to sing about them this day.
Mayor de Blasio says the parade will feature floats for healthcare workers, first responders, educators, municipal workers, transportation workers, grocery and bodega workers, and delivery people. Actress Lisa Baines has died. Baines, who is in such films as Gone Girl and Cocktail, was struck by a scooter on Manhattan's Upper West Side on June 4th. The driver of the scooter fled the scene. Lisa Baines was 65. New York City mayoral candidate Eric Adams received a boost with a week to go before the Democratic primary. New York Mets owner Steve Cohen gave $1.5 million to the Adams Political Action Committee. Real estate executives have also contributed to Adams' mayoral bid. According to New York City's campaign finance board, total contributions to the PAC created to support Adams rose to $6.2 million from $2 million in the last month. Other mayoral candidates are into the home stretch of their campaigns as well. Maya Wiley spoke about her plan to shift $1 billion from the NYPD on CNN last night.
We need our New York City Police Department, one focused on the crimes that are on the rise and deploying our resources with that in mind and doing it smartly.
Wiley has received the endorsement of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
Thank you, Michael. 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Amy. The Nets, plagued by injuries all season. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, they only played together seven times. The hope was they'd all be healthy for the playoffs, and for the first round they were. But Harden re-injured his hamstring opening minute of Game 1 with Milwaukee, and Irving severely sprained his ankle in Game 4. Neither will play in tonight's Game 5 in Brooklyn. The only one of the big three left is Durant.
I wish my brothers were out there playing. I wish they were healthy. But like you said, that's a part of the game. And we all understand that. We wish they were out there playing, but I know they're going to be doing their best to get back on the floor and get healthy as fast as possible.
Series is one of three in the NBA right now that's tied at two games each. Atlanta came from 18 down, beat Philadelphia last night. The Clippers beat Utah. Stanley Cup playoffs, Vegas took game one with Montreal when Vegas made that run to the Cup Final a few years ago as an expansion team. The coach was Gerard Gallant. He was the NHL's coach of the year that season. Now the 57-year-old Gallant is the Rangers coach, replacing David Quinn, who got fired. Gallant has also coached previously with Columbus and Florida. The Islanders bring their 1-0 series lead into Game 2 at Tampa Bay tonight. Citi Field last night, Mets beat the Cubs 5-2. David Peterson looked like Jacob deGrom. Six scoreless innings, allowed only one hit. A homer for Dom Smith. Kevin Pillar had a two-run double. Yankees off last night in Buffalo tonight to play the Blue Jays. MLB has started its crackdown on pitchers using a sticky foreign substance. Reportedly, those getting caught will get a 10-day suspension. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right, thanks, John. Nets star James Harden, by the way, also joined the board of Saks, which is a standalone e-commerce business. That's separate from the Saks Fifth Avenue department stores. Harden is also making a minority investment in Saks. His business portfolio also includes Body Armor drinks, Stance socks, and Pura fragrances. He also has sneaker and apparel line with Adidas. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Make your giving organized and tax-efficient. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are trading little change now with treasuries on the rise ahead of the two-day Federal Reserve meeting starting today. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up a point. Dow futures now down 14. NASDAQ futures are higher by 6 points. The 10-year treasury is up 2/32, yield 1.48%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude is up 0.6%, up 43 cents, $71.31 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 90 cents, $18.66.80 an ounce. The euro is at 1.2126 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4081. And the yen is at 110.03. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Joe Biden turns his attention to the EU today when he meets with European Council members in Brussels. President Biden's visit is aimed at a solidarity message for Russian President Vladimir Putin. Biden will meet with Putin tomorrow in Geneva. Heat records are being broken as the first extreme heat wave of the year extends across the West. Heat warnings stretch from California to Montana and Wyoming. Authorities say electrical grids in Texas and California are being pushed to the brink. In Major League Baseball, the Mets, Nationals, Red Sox, A's, and Giants were all winners. The Orioles lost. In the NBA playoffs, the Hawks and Clippers won. NHL playoffs, the Golden Knights won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. President Biden is going from yesterday's NATO meeting to today's EU summit and then tomorrow's meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin. Joining us now with more, Bloomberg's Don Anger, to give us an idea of what's to come. What can come out of tomorrow's meeting with Vladimir Putin, John? What's the expectation there?
Well, I think it's fair to say the expectations aren't super high. We'll have the two sides meeting for around 4 to 5 hours tomorrow. And they're going to be discussing topics like cybercrime and climate change in the Arctic. But really, I think it's just getting a feel for where each other stand after what has been like a topsy-turvy few months with regard to some of Russia's actions in Ukraine and Crimea.
You mentioned a 4 to 5 hour long meeting. What does that tell you, that length?
Well, I think it tells you that they probably will have a lot to discuss. Obviously, this is going to be Biden's first meeting with Putin since he took office, and it comes after Donald Trump's presidency. So he's going to be looking to try and turn the page on the relationship. But I think also there's a very good piece on the terminal today from Mark Champion, which kind of discusses how Putin has managed to get a seat at this table through his relationships in supporting other autocrats across the world. So I'm sure those are going to be some of the issues that come out in the discussions. But of course, there's not going to be a press conference between the two of them. Biden is meeting with EU's Commission President and Council President today, and I think the EU knows only too well how dangerous press conferences with Russia can be after a difficult one earlier this year between Sergei Lavrov and the EU's top diplomat Josep Borrell.
Now, I'm glad you brought up the EU summit, because before the summit, ahead of today's meeting, they agreed to end the dispute between Boeing and Airbus. That's been going on for 17 years. I used to cover that years ago when I first came to Washington. How is that going to impact today's discussions?
Well, yeah, I think it's really been a turbulent one, as you say, over the last 17 years. So I think both sides will be keen to try and draw a line under this. And especially show a kind of united front when it comes to assessing the challenges that are coming from China and Russia. Obviously, we also had the meeting of NATO leaders yesterday where China featured very heavily. And part of the agreement on Boeing and Airbus today is to kind of combat the challenge, the systemic challenge, as they called it yesterday, from China in the realm of aerospace. Yeah, obviously it's a 5-year truce, but I think they'll be hoping that it paves the way to broader ties between the two sides.
You mentioned the element in that agreement where China is a key focus, and that it was also a key focus with the NATO summit. But isn't that a shift in focus for NATO, seeing China as a global security challenge?
Yes, it most certainly is. I mean, China only really got its first mention in any document or communique around 18 months ago. And yesterday we saw it feature very heavily indeed with some quite strong language used. Obviously, the rhetoric from EU leaders in particular was a little bit more mixed, expressing the need for dialogue and working together with China. We've seen over recent years that 5G has been a very controversial topic in the bloc. So I think there is still disagreement about exactly how NATO and EU leaders should deal with the rise of China. But most certainly, it was quite a strongly worded statement yesterday.
And what is your takeaway when you see President Biden continuing to build this alliance to confront China on topics like forced labor and human rights abuses? And at the same time, he says he doesn't want conflict with China.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite clear yesterday that US is the one that's really pushing to kind of address the challenge posed by China, whereas the EU leaders are a little bit more reluctant. And as you say, yeah, it's a difficult one because they do still want to. Obviously, China's now an economic superpower, so I think there is that they see a need to kind of balance the tough talk with also bearing in mind that they still need to deal with China. And China also issued a statement kind of dismissing the statement from NATO yesterday. So things are still a little bit tense between the two sides.
Yeah, China already pushing back, and even Angela Merkel saying not to close the door on China entirely. Very briefly, in 20 seconds, your biggest takeaway from the NATO summit?
I think the biggest takeaway from the NATO summit was that Joe Biden was very keen to put to other leaders in NATO that the Trump years are behind and gone, and this was very much an effort to kind of show a concerted face in the face of these challenges from Russia and China. So I think that was the main takeaway, that Trump has left the building.
Bloomberg's John Anger, thank you so much. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. Checking S&P futures up 1.5, Dow futures down 9, NASDAQ futures up 8.5. Much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. Looking ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, more work on a bipartisan infrastructure deal, but is there progress being made? We'll talk with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. That is coming up. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are mixed this morning ahead of a busy day on both the economic and political fronts. The gains come a day after both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ closed at records. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 2 points. The yield on the 10-year is at 1.48%.
Meantime, there's word of a big deal between the U.S. and the EU. The two have reached an agreement to end a 17-year dispute over aircraft subsidies to Boeing and Airbus. We get the latest from Bloomberg's John Anger in Brussels.
The U.S. and the EU have finally agreed to end that dispute. It's a big deal, really. That's kind of come as Biden's in Brussels today. There is an element that China is a key focus in this resolution, given that a manufacturer there is kind of coming up. So I think Europe and the US are very wary that they need to act now in order to kind of prevent any challenges in the aerospace industry.
Bloomberg's John Anger reports a formal announcement on a deal is expected later today.
While tensions ease between the U.S. and the EU, they remain high between Washington and Moscow. The stage is set for a pivotal meeting between Presidents Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin in Geneva tomorrow.
If he chooses not to cooperate and acts in a way that he has in the past relative to cybersecurity and some other activities, then we will respond.
President Biden wouldn't say whether he'll seek concessions from Putin, saying he won't negotiate in public.
And back in Washington, tax policy remains in focus this morning. A key Democrat pushing to expand state and local tax deductions is considering proposing a one-time wealth tax on the richest Americans. Let's get those details now live with Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Amy, the Patriot tax is still in the exploration phase, and it's intended to address wealth inequality, which exploded during the pandemic. New York Democratic Representative Tom Suozzi's proposal calls for a one-time 2.5% tax on accumulated wealth of more than $50 million and a 5% levy on assets over $100 million. Those subjected to the tax would pay for it over 5 years. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Now let's see how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up almost 2 points. Dow futures down 8. NASDAQ futures up 11. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd now with the yield 1.49%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. The euro 1.2122 against the dollar. The yen 110.05. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to tell us what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. According to the CDC, nearly 70% of people in New York State have received at least one vaccination shot. Governor Andrew Cuomo said that most remaining restrictions would likely be lifted once the state hit that threshold.
Where we are today is 0.4 positivity rate. Where we were in January, 7.9, almost 8%, from 8% to 0.4%. You look across the state, it is down all across the state, COVID.
Cuomo also said that the state's single-day positivity rate is at 0.35%. Meanwhile, there is a problem for hundreds of people vaccinated in New York City's Times Square. About 900 people will have to get the shots again. Apparently, the Pfizer doses had been in a freezer too long and expired. The health department says while there is no safety risk for the patients, the redo is being carried out to ensure that the individuals are fully protected. New York City will celebrate the essential workers who got the city through the coronavirus pandemic with a ticker tape parade up the Canyon of Heroes. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Groups of essential workers, floats for healthcare workers, first responders, educators, municipal workers, transportation workers, grocery and bodega workers, delivery people, you name it, all the essential workers who made it happen, everyone who kept it together in New York City for all of us.
De Blasio says the parade will take place on July 7th. Actress Lisa Baines has died. Baines, who was in such films as Gone Girl and Cocktail, was struck by a scooter on Manhattan's Upper West Side on June 4th. The driver of the scooter fled the scene. Lisa Baines was 65. Only 1 week is left before the New York City mayoral Democratic primary. A new Marist poll shows candidate Eric Adams is leading at 24%. Catherine Garcia is at 17%. Maya Wiley, at 15%, says we need our New York City Police Department in fighting crime, but it has to be done smartly.
That also means a balance with all the things that we know will solve the problem once and for all. And this is the thing about public safety. What we're trying to do is grow it and make it smarter.
Wiley made her comments on CNN last night. Andrew Yang is fourth at 13%. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. Here in mid-June, no one could have expected the Mets to be in first place and the Yankees to be in fourth. Pitching has propelled the Mets. David Peterson, six scoreless innings, allowed only one hit. Mets beat the Cubs 5-2. They own a four-game lead of the NL East. Yankees, losers of 13 of the last 18, were off. They'll play Toronto tonight in Buffalo. Another Yankee loss drops them to 500. At least better than Baltimore and Arizona, two teams who have lost now 16 and 20 consecutive road games. NBA playoffs, Atlanta came from 18 down, beat Philadelphia. Trae Young continued his torrid playoffs, 25 points, 18 assists. Sixers star Joel Embiid shot 4 for 20, 0 for 12 in the second half. Series is tied at 2. So are Utah and the Clippers. L.A. just won game 4 as Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both scored 31. Nets and Bucks tied at 2. Game 5 tonight at Barclays. Nets will be without both James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Coach Steve Nash was asked about how much they will now rely on Kevin Durant.
This does not follow Kevin. This falls on the Nets. We got to find a way together to play great basketball, both ends of the floor. We've proven we can do it. We've had a great, we've had a great series offensively in the first two games, defensively for the most part. And now we got to put it together in a pivotal game 5.
Irving hurt his ankle in game 4. He left the arena in Milwaukee using crutches. The Rangers have their new coach, 57-year-old Gerard Gallant, replaces the fired David Quinn. Gallant's coached previously with Columbus, Florida, and in Vegas, he got him to the Stanley Cup final as an expansion team. Vegas beat Montreal last night. The Islanders have game 2 in Tampa Bay tonight. The Isles have won their last 4 playoff games. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right, thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Amy. I want to take a look at Boeing. The shares are up about 0.75% in early trading. The U.S. and the European Union agreed to a 5-year truce in a dispute over aircraft subsidies to the plane maker and rival Airbus. That's according to EU officials familiar with the deliberations. A formal announcement may come later today. And you've got Novavax up 2.5%. The COVID-19 vaccine developer swung between gains and losses yesterday after its shot proved 90% effective in a final stage trial. Novavax closed lower by about 1%, so moving in the other direction in early trading today.
Well, Dave, what's going on with meme stocks now?
Plenty of movement up and down. AMC Entertainment lower by 0.5%. Now, the movie theater owner rose yesterday by 18%. after gaining 15% on Friday. Now, that rally followed 2 days of double-digit percentage declines and lifted AMC to its second highest close ever. The highest was just about 2 weeks ago on June 2nd. Looking over some of the other meme stocks, you've got the video game retailer GameStop down 1.5%, the insurer Clover Health Investments up 0.75%, and ContextLogic, the owner of online shopping site Wish.com, higher by 2%. Pet-related companies became meme stocks yesterday. We saw Petco Health and Wellness climb 18% after being promoted on the Reddit forum Wall Street Bets. It's given back some of that gain today. It's lower. Petco is by 4.5%. Now, pet product makers rose as well yesterday and are adding to their gains today. We're looking at companies like TDH Holdings, whose ticker is PETS, P-E-T-Z. It's up 11% in early trading. And Dogness International, ticker DOGS, D-O-G-Z, up 4.5%. Fastenal down 2%. The industrial distributor was cut the equivalent of sell from hold at Morgan Stanley. Spirit Airlines up 2.5%. The carrier said a second quarter earnings gauge will be, quote, modestly positive before some items. And Vroom down 5.5%. The online seller of used cars is selling $500 million of convertible notes privately. Ping Identity Holding is off 7%. The identity software maker's controlling stockholder, Vista Equity Partners, is selling 6 million shares. That's about a 7.5% stake. And after the close today, we'll get results from the database software maker Oracle. So they will bear watching, Amy.
All right. Thank you so much. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, always thanks for joining us, Dave. Looking at stocks now as a whole ahead of the open, S&P futures up 1.75, Dow futures down 6, NASDAQ futures up 7.5. The 10-year price unchanged, yield at 1.49%. Much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. Looking at weather, partly sunny today. Showers are possible. We're going up to 80, down to 60 tonight with clearing skies, and right back up to 80 with plenty of sunshine tomorrow. It's 66 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are mixed this morning ahead of a key two-day policy meeting for the Fed. Let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures down 4 points. S&P is higher by 2.5. NASDAQ futures gain 13. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.49%. Gold is little change. Bitcoin is also little changed. And Japan rose 1% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, retail sales, PPI, and Empire Manufacturing. And at 10 o'clock, business inventories. In other news, Europe and the U.S. have reached a deal to end the Boeing-Airbus trade dispute. And MicroStrategy files to sell as much as $1 billion in stock. Regarding IPOs, Chobani is set to tap Goldman Sachs and Bank of America for a 2021 IPO. And wrapping things up, Fastenal puts an underweight at Morgan Stanley. Spirit Air was raised to buy over at Citigroup. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan?
Okay, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. President Joe Biden in Belgium today is meeting with the King and Prime Minister at the Royal Palace of Brussels. President Biden will also meet with European officials. Tomorrow, Biden will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva. The House Judiciary Committee is beginning its own investigation into the Trump-era Justice Department surveillance of members of Congress and journalists. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell characterized the scrutiny as, quote, a witch hunt in the making. In Major League Baseball, the Mets, Nationals, Red Sox, A's, and Giants, all winners. The Orioles lost. In the NBA playoffs, the Hawks and Clippers won. NHL playoffs, the Golden Knights won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Goldman Sachs goes all in on Florida as Wall Street South.
I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Goldman Sachs seems determined to make clear that Florida isn't just a passing pandemic fad for the financial industry. The bank made waves late last year with plans to move part of its asset management unit to South Florida. Now, it's reportedly also in the early stages of moving what could ultimately be more than 100 traders and sales representatives to West Palm Beach. Most tellingly, the transplants are expected to include the bank's most senior executives and high-performing managing directors, as a signal that the office won't be a backwater that stunts Wall Street careers. The fact that Goldman is going all in on the future of finance, including Florida, with the news breaking on the same day that many of its employees officially reported back to its Manhattan headquarters, no less, is the clearest indication yet that New York can't count on being the undisputed financial capital forever in a post-COVID world. It may soon have a timeshare on that title with West Palm Beach. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentary can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden set to meet with Vladimir Putin tomorrow. But he already has a warning for the Russian leader. And while the president's traveling, the work on an infrastructure bill continues here at home. A bipartisan group of senators says they'll keep a national gasoline tax on the table for now. And the Justice Department will be tightening its rules around obtaining records from members of Congress. Let's get more on all of these stories from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, always a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time with us today. President Biden says he has already warned Vladimir Putin that relations could be severely damaged if Alexei Navalny died in prison. I want to ask what kind of warning that might do before such a meeting.
President Biden has really made it very clear before this meeting with Putin exactly what he's going to be talking to Putin about, sort of holding him to task, both for human rights issues, including, you know, opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who was the victim of an apparent assassination attempt. He's also talked a little bit about holding Putin accountable for hacking, for shielding hackers within his country, and for potential interference with the 2020 and 2016 elections. And so President Biden, I think, is really laying all of this out before he has this meeting with Putin. It's going to be clear what they discuss. At the same point, and I think we discussed this a little bit yesterday, too, you know, we're not expecting to have what Secretary of State Anthony Blinken called a light switch moment. Sort of the idea is that, you know, President Biden's going to go, he's going to make his case, he's going to say, hey, you need to knock this stuff off. And I think the hope is that there's a heading off of tensions, that the relationship between China and the U.S. might not improve dramatically, but also President Biden doesn't want it to get any worse.
Isn't it interesting that the president pushed back against those who thought this meeting probably shouldn't be taking place at all? He says this is exactly the time for this meeting. So why now?
Well, President Biden, yes, he said that he's spoken with many leaders in the G7 and NATO who have been supportive of his meeting. And that's probably one of the reasons for the timing, is that he's coming off these meetings with these other world leaders and other world democracies who are now, he can go into this meeting and say, you know, I have their backing of them. They agree with me on these other things. And to a certain extent, you know, Biden's still a relatively new president. He's meeting with another major world leader, and both parties really do agree that the relationship between U.S. and China has hit a post-Cold War low, that there are a lot of tensions and that they should sort of come together and try and see where they have overlapping mutual interests and where it might make sense for them to cooperate.
Emily, let's shift to infrastructure now. The latest proposal from that bipartisan group of senators is that they will keep the national gasoline tax on the table. Where do these things stand now?
The White House does oppose the national gasoline tax. It says that it goes against President Biden's pledge to make sure that there are no taxes on those who make $400,000 or less. At the same point, it's something that is still on the table for this group because they're not going to be raising taxes as President Biden has proposed. And, you know, this has really been a sticking point throughout this entire debate and the negotiations, not just between senators, but also between President Biden and Senator Shelley Moore Capito, is how do you pay for this legislation? How do you pay for what has been proposed? And you have seen a couple Democrats, including number two Senator Dick Durbin, sort of show some openness to indexing a gas tax. But it's really unclear at this point exactly what that looks like. And it's also unclear exactly when this group of bipartisan senators is going to wrap negotiations. I mean, we've heard some say by the end of this week. We've heard some say it's going to take a little bit longer. I mean, right now, President Biden is overseas, but, you know, this is a big item on his agenda, and it's something that he's under a lot of pressure to begin moving on from Democrats in his own party who say, you know, we're spending all this time negotiating with Republicans. We're at the point where we need to go at it alone.
And very briefly, we've only got about a minute here, but Attorney General Merrick Garland is going to tighten rules around how the DOJ gets records from lawmakers and members of the media. What's the goal here?
So the goal is basically in the wake of news that we have heard from the Trump administration securing data from members of Congress and journalists, from former White House lawyer Don McGahn. This has led to the current Justice Department Attorney General Merrick Garland saying that, you know, political and other considerations shouldn't play any roles in what the department investigates, that it should be removed from politics. And in order to do that, he's trying to look into a series of new regulations and new standards that might prevent something like what we saw happen under the Trump administration from happening again.
All right, Emily, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, follow all of the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. We're coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A small study offers the first hint that an extra dose of COVID-19 vaccine just might give some organ transplant recipients a needed boost in protection. A study by researchers at Johns Hopkins tracked 30 transplant patients. Of the 24 who appeared to have no protection after routine 2 vaccinations, 8 of them developed some virus-fighting antibodies after an extra shot. 6 others who'd had only minimal antibodies all got a big boost from that third dose. Disney is dropping the face mask requirement for most areas in its theme parks for visitors who've been fully vaccinated. Guests who aren't will still need to wear face masks indoors and on attractions. And technology has lowered the cost of the 2020 census. A watchdog says it's now expected to cost $14.2 billion. That is well below a previous estimate of $15.6 billion. Technological innovations allowed most households to answer the census questionnaire online for the first time instead of just by mail or phone. And that is the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Looking ahead to the market open, ahead of the 2-day Fed policy meeting for June, futures are mixed. S&P futures up 3 points now. Dow futures down 4. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 20. Germany's DAX index up 0.5%. The CAC in Paris up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury's little change. The yield 1.49% on the benchmark 10-year note. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude up 0.8% of 55 cents, $71.43 a barrel. COMEX gold up 40 cents, $18.66.30 an ounce. The euro 1.2114 against the dollar. The yen 110.09. Bloomberg Surveillance up next with Tom Keene, Lisa Abramowitz, and Romain Bostic. For Amy Morris, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.